be right. No, he's going to be right there. Should be, yeah, Kleenex. There should be Kleenex in there, so yeah. There should be Kleenex and all in there, but if not, somebody needs some. Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church, and on behalf of Jeff and Bill's family, we'd like to thank all of y'all for being here and to support them this afternoon, and for your prayers and your phone calls and your text messages through the last several weeks and the last 3 weeks of Bill's life. And the family will do visitation following the service in the fellowship hall. Hope you can stay and be with them and enjoy the meal. Jeff has got plenty for y'all to take some home with you, so y'all please join us. But we're gathered here today and in the presence of God and of Bill's friends to remember and celebrate the life of William Bill Lee Thomas. He was born in Burlington, North Carolina on September the 29th, 1944, to Ed and Edith Thomas. And after living 78 years on this earth, he passed from life here into the rest of Jesus' arms, Wednesday, October the 26th, 2022. And this afternoon, as we gather here with Jeff and the family, we aim to comfort, encourage, and help bring some closure to Bill's family and his friends. And we will accomplish this by taking the advice that Billy Graham once wrote. He said that it is not time that heals our grief, but what we do with our time that heals our grief. And this afternoon, we want to begin that healing process by turning to the only one capable of helping us when we face death. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, and as we prayed earlier today, Lord, I just ask right now that with your outstretched arm, that you'd reach down with your hand and touch Bill's family. And Lord, I just pray that the warmth of your love would comfort them. The strength of your grace would just help them through this service. Help them the days and the weeks ahead. And Lord, also we just ask that you help us replace the grief of losing someone, of losing Bill, with the happy memories that each person here has made with him throughout his life. So Lord, just help us now celebrate Bill's life. Encourage us by replacing the emptiness of his absence with memories. And Lord, I just ask now that your sweet Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would just empower us to fix our eyes on Jesus, to seek him while he can be found, and Lord, just to stay focused on him when we leave here today, on our Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So Lord, just reach down now and touch us, and Lord, lead us through this service that it would honor Bill and bring you glory, honor, and praise. So now to our only God and Father be all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. On days like today, we need to ponder the greatness of God and how God can help us through the most difficult situations. And as we think about that, I would just ask that you listen to the words that Mr. Malin and his friends are going to sing as they sing, "How Great Thou Art."
Oh Lord my God, when Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When I wander through the woods and the forest glades, I hear the birds singing so sweetly in the trees. And when I look down from that lofty mountain grandeur, I see the brook and I feel the gentle breeze.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think that God his Son not sparing send him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with shout of admiration, joy shall fill my heart,
and I shall bow with humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank y'all so much. You know, in life and in death, when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take that in. You know, God not only hears our prayers, but he also speaks to us through his word, and often through songs that are based on his word that we hear God speak to us. So let us now turn to the one who personally knows us, personally provides for us, personally protects us, protects us from death, and promises that we can dwell with him forever. The psalmist writes in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointeth my head, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you just imagine one day in the millennium, in that valley, no matter what has happened to us, and no matter how dark it gets, that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He will comfort us. He will protect us with His rod, and He will guide us with His staff. And that is the promises that we have. Let's think about what Bill is experiencing this morning in the peace of heaven. at 1:56 on a Wednesday morning, Bill Thomas took his last breath here on this earth. And his next breath was the sweet air of love that fills heaven. And as he breathed in that air, can you imagine him seeing Jesus standing there? And righteousness was the belt that wrapped around his loins, and faithfulness was the belt that was about his waist. You know that song they just sung describes what will happen when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation and sets up a 1,000-year reign on this earth, that the wolf will dwell with the lamb and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and they'll be eating together. And a little boy will lead them, and the cow and the bear will graze, and the young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like an ox, and the nursing child will play in the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. There will be no hurt or destroy in God's holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a great promise we have, and Bill's experiencing that today. He's experiencing the peace that is in heaven with Jesus Christ. And one day we'll all be gathered together and we'll experience that peace where all of creation will be reconciled to God. Everything will be restored to its original beauty and perfection. And that is what we await. And that's what Bill is waiting to experience. He's experiencing peace now. But guess what? Eternal life with Christ just gets better and better, day by day. And that's the promises that we have today. And as we think about that, we want to take this time to help relieve and replace some of our grief with happy memories that Bill has made with each of you here today. I believe he's influenced all of you in some way, or you wouldn't be here. You know, he's been a fixture at Wilsonville General Store, I guess, the last 10 years with Mr. Vossi and them, and everybody knows him and speaks with him. And I guess through the years, especially in the 80s and 90s, everybody knew him at one of the Talbert stores, whether it was in Pittsburgh or in Chapel Hill. And my earliest memories of Bill was working two jobs at DeMille and Saturdays at D.W. Smith's Exxon, and where they recap tires. And I remember working with Bill there, or going in to get gas with my dad and Bill being there. You know, in some way, Bill's touched everyone's life here. And Jeff and him picked a great picture of Bill. He looks a little serious, because I was expecting to hear him to say, "What'd you say?" I know that they were sharing with me that he often, when somebody wanted a bag of ice, he didn't hear him, so he wouldn't remember to charge him for it. But, you know, Bill was blessed. He struggled with his hearing all of his life after having a fever, but Bill never gave up. Bill was always positive. He's influenced us all in some way. He was a brother. He was a father, a grandfather, and a friend. His life made a difference to everyone that is here and everyone that he ever met. You know, he became a positive influence on everybody he met. When he taught Jeff as a young man that it's never too late to change. And some of this stuff I'm going to say here, I have Jeff's permission. Matter of fact, Jeff asked me to share it with you. You know, his daddy taught him that it is never too late to give up. And when Jeff didn't have faith, his daddy kept his faith. Jeff shared with me about Bill when he taught Sunday school at Rock Spring Baptist Church years ago, and that he had taught Jeff that it's never too late to change and never give up. You know, Bill believed that God is still in the life-changing business. And I don't know what is going on in your life today, but I know Bill would want me to tell you, God still changes hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. And a changed heart will change a life, and a changed life will change a family. You know, Bill was a hard worker. You know, you could say that golf and work probably was his two favorite hobbies. And he probably favored work more than golf. I'm not sure. I remember him working two shifts at the mill, and then he was putting the pillows underneath the mill, redoing them with block and mortar, and so he could buy Jeff a car. I remember Jeff got a brand new Boss Mustang, and it only took Bill three jobs to get that. But he worked, and he loved to work. I know if you summed up his character in one word, I'd say dependable. If Bill promised you he was going to help you, you better get up early, because he'd be there 30 minutes before he was supposed to, and he'd always stay late. You know, he supported his family and his friends financially, emotionally, and physically. with his presence. You could always count on him to be in the stands or either in the audience as kids that he supported. He celebrated your victories, but he would also encourage you in your defeats. You know, he worked up to just the last few weeks of his life. I know a lot of times after he moved to Swansboro, the pictures I'd see, he'd be wearing his J&J hat and shirt, and Jeff would be working him like a slave. I saw him cleaning sidewalks and driveways. But, you know, Bill was happiest when he was busy. You know, and he always wanted to pay his bills and make sure that he taught people to pay their bills. You know, almost the last thing he said after they moved him to hospice, the lady shaved him and cleaned him up and bathed him. And when she went out, he looked at Jeff and he said, "Did we pay her yet?" Bill was a man of few words, but if Bill said something, you knew that he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And one of his greatest strengths was his faith. From teaching Sunday school, as I mentioned, at Rock Springs, to paying for God to turn Jeff's life around, he believed in the power of Jesus' forgiveness and Jesus' renewal. In old age, they said that they began calling Bill grumpy. And you know, that just comes with old age. But you know, life didn't always go as Bill planned. But he never gave up faith in God to bring about good out of all of the disappointing circumstances he faced. You know, in funerals, a lot of times we quote this verse, but I don't think we pay attention to what it really means sometimes. Paul, writing to the Romans, says in chapter 8, verse 28, 29, he says that we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. To those who he called according to his purpose, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. You know, this doesn't say that God causes bad things to happen so he can do something with them. It says that God causes all things, good things, bad things, sad things, happy things, all things, he calls them to work together so that we can, as believers in Christ, be conformed into the image of Jesus, into the image of God's Son. You know, some say that when we think of Bill, we'd see his heart trouble, his decline in health, him having to move to Swansboro as the end of the line for Bill. You know, Bill didn't see it as the end. He saw it as a second chance. Bill taught Jeff that we serve a God of second chances. You know, I remember, like I said, him working three jobs so that he could buy a little 16-year-old kid a Mustang. But also with that come sacrifice. Jeff shared with me how when he would get up to go to school, his daddy was going off to work. And when he'd come home from school, his daddy was taking a shower to go back to work. And Jeff said that him and his daddy never got to know each other good when he was little because his daddy worked all the time. Then when Jeff got old enough to support himself, he made choices that took his life away from his family, his God, and his father. So as an adult, they never got to know each other. But in the sovereign power and the wisdom of God, in the last few years of Bill's life, he used something like a bad heart to move him in with Jeff. And they got to spend 2 years going to work together, riding in the truck together, irritating each other together, forgiving each other, and sharing life together. In the end, God used bad things to bring about the good. That's the God we serve. That's how great he is. Never forget that no matter what's going on in your life, God is prepared to give you a second chance. You just have to trust him and follow him. What will your life teach others about God? The greatest legacy we can leave is what we teach our family and friends about believing in God and following Jesus wherever he leads. Here's my question. The other Wednesday morning, the Lord led Bill home. How about us? When God leads you home, will you be able to say, "I showed someone else the way"? Let us listen as Terry sings how great a God we have to lead us home.
I have seen my last tomorrow. I am holding my last breath. Goodbye, sweet world of sorrow. My new life begins with death. I am standing on the mountain. I can
Terry. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus gave his disciples the cure for a troubled heart. It was the night before he went to the cross to die for our sins, and Jesus knew that the disciples was going to be met with grief, with some fear, some anger, some disappointment, and some just wondering what was going on. And he gave them these words here, and as Terry just sung, and as I said before, he sung that song, when Jesus leads us home, will we be able to say that we showed somebody else the way? See, Jesus knew the disciples would be grieving, and he said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, Jesus said, if you want to have a cure for a troubled heart, you need to know where you're going to spend eternity. You need to know where your loved ones are spending eternity. Jesus says here, do not let your heart be troubled. This is the command, and he gives us the cure for that by saying you need to believe in God. But he says, believe also in me. It's not enough just to believe that God exists. It's not even enough to believe that God created everything you see. That just means you're not an atheist. Jesus says you got to believe that God not only created you, but you separated yourself from the love of God, from the presence of God, because we've all sinned. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus says, you got to believe that I come to this earth, I lived the life each of us should have lived, I died the death we all deserve, I was buried, and 3 days later, God raised him from the grave so that we would know his sacrifice for our sins had been accepted by a holy and mighty God. When we believe in Jesus, we know the way to heaven. We know the truth about ourselves and the truth about Jesus. And we also get to know that Jesus is life. John 17, verse 3 says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you sent. You know, I believe a lot of people think that if they get saved, or if they wait to get saved, they'll be all right, because nothing happens till you get to heaven. Salvation begins the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you and take control of your life. You get a new way of life. Your old way is replaced with a new quality of life and a new leader of life, and that is Jesus. And he'll show you the way. No matter how dark the days or how cold the nights, he will lead you home, and you can trust him. The question we all have to ask each other is, have we made that decision to trust Jesus for life eternal? It is this simple. You just simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've not lived a life that's pleasing to God. I believe you died for my sins. And Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me and take control of my life. Help me live the rest of my life on this earth pleasing to God. So when I get home, I'll hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you've not prayed that prayer, it is that simple. It's not complicated. If you ask Jesus to forgive you, share that with somebody. I'll be here after the service. If you're not saved, today's the day of salvation. I'll be glad to talk with you. I got cards back there. You can call me anytime. I know Bill would want to see each of you in heaven. But Jesus says he's the only way to get there. As we think about the blessings that we have in Jesus, and we think about loved ones passing away, we often think that they've either missed out, or we think, we wonder what's going on between now and then. The Christians at Thessalonica had the same questions, and Paul wrote to them these words to comfort one another with at the loss of their loved ones. And I mentioned this, I know we're not going to graveside today, but I just wanted to mention this text to help us understand. I know a lot of times with cremation and not going to the graveyard, I've had a lot of questions. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brother and sisters, about those who are asleep. In other words, he wants you to have some understanding about what happens to our loved ones when they pass away. He says, so that you do not grieve as those with no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. As we leave here today, bookmark 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And as grief gets with you next week or you start feeling sad, think about these verses and comfort one another with these words. First of all, I just want you to remember that if Jesus died for our sins and rose again, that we have eternal life, and that God will bring those, our loved ones, with him at Christ's return. And Paul says that this is not something he got off of Google. This is not something that was on a TV show. He said this comes by the word of the Lord. This is the promise of God that we will spend eternity with him. He says that the Lord himself will come back for us. Isn't that a great promise? The Lord himself. You know, often these days in times and culture, it's like nobody has any worth anymore. Everybody is being criticized for everything. Guess what? We all got worth in the eyes of God because he's coming personally to take us home, to spend eternity with him if we are a child of God through faith in Christ. He says he will come himself, and he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and a trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise. So the folks that has already passed away, like Brother Bill, they'll get a resurrected body. They'll be coming with the Lord. Can y'all imagine this? And we're going to be caught up in the air. We're going to meet them, and Bill's going to hear everything y'all say. Amen? And then here's the promise for the hope. We will forever be with the Lord. Can y'all imagine your family and your friends living together in the presence of God out of the presence of sin? No arguing, no fussing. The lamb lays with the lion. Can you imagine the peace that we will have there? This is the promise we have. Wednesday morning, life for Bill ended. Death removed him from the walks of life here on this earth. And today, we have an obligation to say goodbye and to commit his body to the grave and commend his soul to the Lord. When you think about committing something, you're setting it aside for a purpose to be used later. You know, Bill's body was wore out. And we're just setting it aside because when Christ comes back and resurrects it, it'll be a glorified body. No heart problems, no cancer, no hearing problems, no hurts, no pains. Can you imagine walking? The older I get, I realize why people talk about knees hurting and things. It's going to be a glorious day. So when we say we commit somebody to the earth or to the grave, we're talking about we're setting their body aside till Christ comes back and gives them a new resurrected body. But here's the privilege we have today. We get to commend Bill's soul to the Lord. Commend means to present something for approval. And because we can present Bill as a believer in Jesus Christ before God, we know that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice, forgave Bill, and Bill has been approved to spend eternity in heaven. That is the greatest promises that we have when we face death. So today, as we say goodbye to Bill, I just want you to remember to encourage one another with these words. You will see him again if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised, and if you asked him to forgive you. Bill would want me to tell you that our God is still in the life-changing business, and he's still a God of second chances. Let us pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Have you made a commitment? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and take control of your life? It's that simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I've not lived a life pleasing to you. I know I've lived it on my own terms. But I'm asking you to forgive me. I believe you died for me, and I believe you can give me life. I believe you was raised from the grave, so I know that my sin debt has been paid. Please forgive me and take control of my life. If you've prayed that, let someone know. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do not grieve like those with no hope, because we know not only through salvation in Jesus do we have life immediately in heaven, that if we believe in you, Lord, even if we die, we live. But one day we'll receive a new, glorified, resurrected body, and we'll live in a world recreated without sin. What a glorious day. And until that day, Lord, we just ask that you help us live in such a way that when you lead us home, we'll show others how they can go rest high on that mountain. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
But only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. So go rest high on that mountain, 'cause son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven a shouting love for the Father. How we cried the day you left us. We gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see the angels' faces when they hear your sweet voice sing. So go rest high on that mountain, 'cause son, your work on earth is done. Go to thank you. should go rest high on that mountain. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven a shouting love for the Father. Go to heaven a shouting love for the Father and the Son.
You know, I'm not exactly sure what Bill is doing this afternoon in heaven, but I do know this. Worship has become his work. Can you imagine that? Getting to worship. Hey, it's not a place of inactivity. We'll have jobs there. We'll do things. Life goes on. But everything we do will be in accordance to God's guidance, God's plan. And that'll be worship because we'll enjoy doing it in the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of one another, so one day we too can go rest high on that mountain. God told Isaiah that on his holy mountain one day they will not hurt or destroy, for the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine living in a new heaven and a new earth when it's nothing but peace? Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I just ask now, Lord, as we depart here, that Bill's family and friends, Lord, that you would just be with them, and Jeff and his brothers, Lord, that you would just be with them and bless them and keep them. Lord, that you would make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. And now, Lord, lift up your countenance and give us peace. As we depart from here, Lord, we just thank you for the life that Bill shared with each of us. Lord, we just thank you that he finished the race faithful, still believing. And Lord, we ask that we help one another in the days and weeks ahead. And remember to call and check on Jeff, check on the family. And Lord, when we speak of Bill, speak his name and speak of memories. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The family invites you to join them for a time of visitation and food in the fellowship hall right through this door right here, and straight across the carport is the fellowship hall. If you need to go to your car, you can just come around. You'll see the breezeway down here in the fellowship hall. There's plenty of food and tea and Pepsis, and we just want you to make yourself at home. There's restrooms here to the left. Also, as soon as you get to fellowship hall down the hall, there are restrooms there too. And again, we thank you for coming to support the family today. I'm going to pray for the meal so when you get there, you can get in line. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you and thank you for fellowship. Lord, thank you that we can gather together, that, Lord, we can experience the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, I ask now that this food, you'd bless it to our bodies. Lord, the fellowship, you'd bless it to the betterment of our souls. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Thank y'all.